Blog Talk Radio.
We want to speak life over you today. Every person listening, we want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New dream.
It's not over. It's not finished. It's not ending.
It's only the beginning.
It's only the beginning. God is in it.
All things are new. We brought some friends along to just encourage you a little further. James Lord,
just for someone right now.
I know it's dark.
Yes.
Just before dawn.
It's not easy right now.
Might speed up high. Season you, experience.
I've been there.
It hurts.
It won't last.
Won't be too long.
Because you are
closer than you think you are.
You may not see it yet.
Closer than you think you are.
Come on, Israel.
Oh, look to the sky. Help is on the way. It's not over.
It's not finished.
It's not
finished.
It's not finished.
Your story's not over. This is only
the beginning.
The beginning.
He makes all the difference. He makes all. He makes all things new. Yes. With God.
Over. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. And we're going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything, give thanks. So, Father God, that's what we're doing. We're being thankful today. We're humbling ourselves before you, Lord. And we're saying to you, restore right now, Father God, your word in each and every one of us. I call upon you, Lord, because Jeremiah 33:3 says, if I call on you, Heavenly Father, you will show us great and mighty things. Father God, I pray right now, begin to show us things. Show us great and mighty things that we know not of. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're going to show us. You're going to show us healing is still available. Show us great and mighty things, Father God. Show us your restoration power. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Show us your delivering power. Your word says you will show us great and mighty things that we know not of. I cry out to you this morning, this afternoon. Right now, Heavenly Father, we surrender. I ask you, Father God, to show us great and mighty things. Show those that want to be reconciled in their marriage, show them as possible, because your word says, with you all things are possible. Show us, Father God, great and mighty things that we know not of. Show us how to get into the word like we've never gotten into before. Show us, Father God, to let that word digest in us. Let it live in us, Heavenly Father, like you promised. Let Christ live in us. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Show us new and ways of worship, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Teach us, Father God, to have that Christ-like spirit, that childlike spirit, where Christ humbled himself even to the cross. Teach us, Father God, what it means to humble ourselves even like children. When the children ask to do something, they do it. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for your spirit. I thank you, Father God, that we walk by the spirit. We walk by your spirit. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can walk in the light as you're in the light. Oh, Heavenly Father, I need to thank you for making us new, because we are new. You're something totally different. And then, Father God, I thank you right now for revelation knowledge. I thank you, Father God, it comes from you. And we repent, Father God, for anything that had not been of you. We change our direction. We believing in the abundance life right now, Heavenly Father. So I thank you for thank you for all the healing you've been doing in this area and in these areas. I thank you for it. I claim it, Father God. Give you the honor and the praise. I thank you, Father God, that more people hearing this are becoming united with you and began to walk upright with your word. I thank you for it.
Yes.
Praise you for it. I ask these and all blessings. In Christ's name I pray. Everybody agreed with this prayer. Said amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm excited, brother and sister, about the word of God. I'm excited what God has called us to do. I'm going to ask Pastor Shirley read out the Messenger Bible and ask Evangelist William if she'll be so kind to read out of King James Version. Now listen, brothers and sisters, you got to pay close attention. Because God going to drop something in your spirit, in all of our spirit, but you in particular, you and you. Who would be you? Be you of those that's going to receive his word. John said in 1, says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So we need that power, but you need to receive that. God's going to give you a word. We're going to start out with our foundational scripture, which is found over there in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, I think we did. Well, you know what? We'll go through 21 because there's so much to cover there, and then we'll get into more of it. That's Evangelist William, if she'll read 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21.
One moment, Pastor. One moment.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21 reads, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses upon them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ, said be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. From the Message Bible. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah is a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sin. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representative. God uses us to sway men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How? You ask, in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank y'all so much. The call that's on all our lives, this is the gift. This is the mercy now. I'm not telling anybody anything. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. That's all I'm sharing with you. It's what the Word says. The Word says we all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God has called all of us to do, is to tell the world that God is not mad at them, that he want to be friends, and he giving up a whole lot for this friendship. And our job is to go tell people this. Now, that don't mean you're going to do it. Ain't nobody trying to make you do nothing. I'm just simply telling you what God say. Maybe you hadn't read your word lately. Maybe you hadn't seen it like that. I mean, I don't know. But God is telling me to tell all of us, because since we are brand new people on the inside, the Holy Spirit gives us that new life. And that new life requires us to operate in the ministry of reconciliation, not reforming, not rehabilitating anybody, not reducing. No, what's going to take place is their spirit is going to become brand new, not renewed, brand new. Okay? It's like when you buy a car, you can buy a renewed car or you can buy a brand new car. A brand new car means nobody ever had the title to it. So this is, he made your spirit brand new to do what? To minister the word of reconciliation. I know what we've been taught in the past. I'm not ignorant of that. Brother and sister, let me tell you what. When God says his grace is sufficient, he means just that. It's adequate for us. That's all we need is to have faith in him and in his word, and it's going to happen. We'll be able to do this work because we're ambassadors. Just like God was in Christ, let me put it to you this way. Just like God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, you could look at Ephesians 2, 13 through 18. Ephesians 2, now don't forget what 10 said, with his workmanship created in the spirit. Say for everybody, it's for spiritual minded people. Okay? So in Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 18, I think this will help us to get a better understanding. Don't let the enemy fool you and talk about your past and you did this and did that. No, it's already been settled. God's grace took care of it. I don't care what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter with God. It's right now. It's not your fault. Your head will tell you, oh, you ain't this and you ain't. Yeah, that's what Satan's supposed to tell you. He's supposed to be trying to change the word of God in your spirit, man. But don't let it happen, brothers and sisters. Do not cheat yourself out of what God got for you. Don't cheat yourself.
Amen.
If you have been, stop it. But in Ephesians, 2:13 through 18. Read that right quick, and then we can get into this lesson.
Ephesians 2:13 to 18, King James Version. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make him in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Amen, amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Now, because of Christ dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it in on everything, the Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this. Both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. Amen.
Amen.
So listen, brothers and sisters, God bring us back to himself. How you ask?
Yeah.
Oh, I got some receipts. Through reconciliation of us by blocking out sin. Isn't that interesting that we can be with God now because sin is gone and he has made us righteous? This is by faith. I mean, you're not going to smell righteous. You're not going to look righteous. You know, because folks got this attitude like you got to look a certain way. But you're going to look just like the word of God on the inside. So we're no longer God's enemy or just say strangers. Or we're not foreigners to him any longer. He has brought us back together. Why? Because we trust in Christ. Because we have been reconciled to God. You got to say that a few times. When you're thanking God, thank him for reconciliation. Thank you, Lord, that you have let me come back. Well, I'm going to give y'all another definition later on of reconciliation. Because, see, when you're reconciling, when you want to make it right, sometimes you got to give your best. You got to go out there and spend some money. You men's, I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes flowers just won't do it, brothers and sisters. I'm going to be honest with you. And you women know what I'm talking about, too. Just cooking a good dinner where I want to make him happy today. I'm going to reconcile. Because we had bad arguments, something we disagreed on, whatever. But, hey, I got to make this thing right now.
Amen.
So I'm going to cook him a big dinner. Sometimes you got to get beyond that. You got to go and do some stuff you ain't did before. So that's what God did.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his only begotten son to the whole world so the whole world could be reconciled.
Yeah.
So we have the privilege now, and it become our duty. Woo, let me say this. It become our duty, because it's a privilege to me, to encourage others to do the same, okay? And thus have we been, have it. This ministry of reconciliation. This is our ministry. It's our ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
We are ambassadors. Yeah. Look at that, brother and sister. Yeah. What does an ambassador do? Huh? That's what we do. We're representing Christ. And so it's God in us. That's what's going to take place here. It's God in us that's going to speak to us through his word. Not everybody going to hear it. Let me be first to tell you that. Not everybody going to receive it. Let me be the first to tell you that. Or the second. Maybe you've already heard it before. But the only people going to hear this stuff is people who want to receive him. As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Okay? But we are ambassadors. You know, in other words, God sends you over to Russia. You ain't America, but what you are is you're an ambassador. And that being an ambassador with the message of reconciliation to the whole world. An ambassador or reconciliation has an important responsibility. Listen, brothers and sisters, you got an awesome responsibility. I don't care what you've been told in the past. It doesn't matter. It's what's going on right now. And God has given us the responsibility of telling the world that he ain't mad with us. He more in love with us now than ever before. Because where sin abide, grace much more abide. Come on, somebody. Where sin abound, grace much more abound. So ain't no sin missing God's grace. Because God's grace is sufficient. Yeah. So you may ask, we dare to take this responsibility lightly. Please, brothers and sisters, don't take this responsibility lightly. You're going to cross some people's path. I don't care how you think they're going to look at you. I don't think what they know. It doesn't matter what they know about you. All you're doing is sharing the word of God. And you share it to them and tell them it's in the word of God. And let them make that decision based on the word of God, not based on you. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, if people I've talked to, if they would go by my past, they wouldn't even look at me. They probably got a whole different concept, whole different view. Because, see, most of the time when people judging, it's because they don't want to be judged. Because if they didn't mind, they wouldn't judge, see? But most people that judge, they hate to judge themselves. Now, that's why the Bible said we all have sinned, because all you got to do is look back on your own life. But God's grace take care of that for you. So you don't have to live in that. You can live in God's righteousness. And I don't care if you done stumble and hit your toe 7 times 70.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pastor, is there consequences for everything? Absolutely. That's why Jesus took it. He took our sin. He bore our sin. What we are expected to do now is to share his righteousness with people. Let God know he could, let the world know that God can use something like us, who was this and was that. That God let us know he can use people who that was flat on their back. God let people know he can use somebody that was deep in sin, that you thought that could never get out of it because of the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we have. We have the ministry of reconciliation. So we have in Christ. We make an exchange. Amen. God took our sin for his righteousness. Our sin was poured into Christ at the crucifixion. His righteousness is poured into us at our conversion. When you got converted, this is what happened, brothers and sisters. When you read the scripture, that's what took place. And the more you accept his righteousness, the more sin of yours he accepts. See, God already there. So we have to teach people that. We have to share that with people. Yeah.
All right.
It's time that the body of Christ wake up, man. It's time that the body of Christ know that God have taken the sin. When will you accept his righteousness? See, that was the Jews' problem. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to go to where I really need to go. I'm going to tell you this. The Jews' problem, they didn't want to receive what God had did. You know what people's problem now? They don't want to receive what God have did. Remember, he abolished it. Somebody help me out. What does the word abolish mean? Just help me out for a moment. Somebody help me. What does the word abolish mean?
To remove, to remove, to get rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
To stop. Yeah. That's what he did, people. He got rid of that. He abolished it. As far as you're concerned, he have abolished it. And then that's what we have to teach people. So people know that God have already taken care of it. He have abolished it in his own flesh. If you don't believe that, you read Ephesians 2:15, because it's there. I read that. He abolished it in the flesh. And then he goes on to say one other big word that people, they just miss this. People miss this all the time. He says, even the enemy has already been taken care of, already been abolished. Also, watch this, even the law of condemnation contained in the orderliness that make himself of twine, one man, so making peace. So God took care of all of that with Christ so we could become one with him. So we don't have a sin problem. We have a receiving problem. I'm going to say that again for those that may not know this. There's and I have receipts now. Don't challenge me on this. I got more receipts than you can read today. But God have taken that singing. And you know what? Let me tell you right now, brother and sister, put a time out. Let me tell you this. I probably have been taught about much about singing as you have. Maybe probably even more, because everything was sin. The way you walk was sin. The way you dress was sin. The way you cough was sin. I mean, everything was sin. But you know what we'll fail to do is to teach people God's righteousness. So if we'll start hearing God's righteousness, we can start receiving it. Because you know why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you expect for them to hear God's righteousness and you ain't teaching it? Because you know, a lot of people, they're not going to do 2 Timothy 3:16. They're not going to study. Because see, study requires you to get your word, get some dictionary, get some thesaurus, get some other help, other tools, and see what stuff is really going on up in here. A lot of folks won't do that. They'll wait to listen to some preacher like me, you know, or like somebody else you might listen to, instead of getting in that word themselves. You have a personal responsibility to get into that word yourself, abide in it, because I was telling y'all yesterday about this person. They thought I was a cult, man. That rocked my little bitty world. Yeah, they thought, I was teaching the call. No, I just shared with them what the word of God said. God said you're an ambassador. I wouldn't say that, because all I can go, if I go by the optical nerve, you don't even look like a good worker. If I go by the optical nerve, matter of fact, you wouldn't even probably look like a good person. So I don't see people like that. I see people through the word of God. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
God is not mad with you. So I said to this individual, like I told y'all yesterday, that as a matter of fact, we all was stranger. At one time, we all were strangers to the Commonwealth of Israel. So, but thank be to God. Thank God for his grace and his mercy that endure forever. Forever. Let me say that one more time. I said forever. So it doesn't matter. His grace is still working right today. As long as you hear my grace and mercy, and it's following you, and it's going to overtake you if you start listening to the Holy Spirit and stop listening to this other crazy stuff. And the way you do that is to get in the word of God, not me. Because that young man, had been listening to, I guess, a lot of different preachers and so forth. And he told his pastor he thought I was in a cult. No, I'm not in no cult, man. I ain't nothing you got I want, nothing you got I want. Nothing. I mean, I don't even know you like that. I don't want to know you like that. I don't even want to know you after the flesh. I just want you to get in the word of God and operate in truth. And if God said he called you, don't let man cheat you out of that. What you have to start doing is say, yeah, Lord, I receive that. I'll be an ambassador. I'll go and represent the kingdom of God wherever I go. If I go to Kroger's, if I go to Walmart, if I go to a football game, if wherever I go, if you allow the opportunity for me to witness, Lord, I'll tell them. I'll tell them what the gospel is. See, that's what, remember, that's what Paul did. Okay, I better give y'all some receipts before I quit here, because I'm getting ready to quit. But let me give you a couple of receipts. Over in Galatians 2:2, I want you to read this. It's not about the regular gospel that people preach, brother and sister. It's not about church gospel. You know, it's not about the gospel of St. Mark. It's not about the gospel of Baptist this or Methodist or Presbyterian. No, this is about revelation knowledge. That's what the devil, he attacks that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil going to attack that. That's what happened to Paul over there in 1 Corinthians, but we won't go there. That's for another day. But that's what the enemy going to attack revelation knowledge. But that's what Paul preached. And you're going to see this. I got receipts right here. Galatians 2:2, read that.
Galatians 2:2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Amen, amen.
Amen. Send the message, Bible. I went to clarify with them what had been revealed to me. At that time, I placed before them exactly what I was preaching to the non-Jews. I did this in private with the leaders, those held in esteem by the church, so that our concern would not become a controversial public issue, married by ethnic tensions, exposing my years of work to the and endangering my present ministry, degrading and endangering my present ministry. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. See, what Paul was doing, he was preaching revelation knowledge. So over there in 1 Corinthians 9, where we were talking about where his grace is sufficient, well, that was because the enemy came after him. So he had to go to God about it. Lord, I mean, the enemy is working me because I'm teaching revelation knowledge. See, he was teaching people that we were God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He was teaching people that we are ambassadors for Christ. They hadn't heard that. They thought you had to have a long robe on. They thought this. No, he was teaching them that we were the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. That was revelation to these people. He was teaching them people that, hey, you are a saint. We're fellow saints. Matter of fact, we're citizens with the other saints, the household of God. See, people think a household of God is a building, and it's not. So what Paul was teaching them in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19, he was teaching them that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And then he would say stuff like this: know ye not that you are the temple? I was telling the sister yesterday, most folks today couldn't deal with Paul's teaching. You know why? Because he'll call you a fool. Oh, you think, that's what he did. I read that over there in Galatians 5. Think John the Baptist was something? John the Baptist ain't got nothing on Paul. Paul called him ignorant. He called folks a fool. And because he was giving them this revelation knowledge, people criticized him. So there was certain people a certain reputation. See, there's some people you got to just call to the side and privately and try to explain to them. Because I was telling some people yesterday, anybody want to understand this better? Hey, call me. Man, text me. Hey, we'll have a private one-on-one. You got, you know, because you don't want to feel embarrassed. Because a lot of times people, they ask questions, but they don't want to ask because they may feel embarrassed, feel intimidated, whatever. But hey, brothers, just let you know right now, if it's anything I say that you want clarity on it, hey, call me. Text me.
Yes,
and I'll
yes,
show it to you right
amen.
In the Word of God. If I said it, now I can't go by what you feel. I can't do nothing with your feeling, but I can do something with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of questions mm-hmm. I can't answer. Why is this like this? And why is this like that? And why is this like that? I mean, I ain't trying to answer all them questions, but I can definitely answer the questions in terms of what we should be doing right now, where the church is headed in the year 2024 and beyond. I can tell you that and show it to you in the Word of God. I can tell you that God have called you to be part of this this revolution. I can show you that. I can show you
praise
that he took
God.
In the devil and he abolished the law and everything that was dealing with the law. He did away with it. He deleted it. So if it was a law of giving, it's gone.
Yeah.
The law
amen.
Of sin and death
amen.
Gone. Yeah, but Pastor, what about, see, I ain't with all that. Don't ask me dumb questions because you'll get an intelligent answer. See, because
right.
a lot of people, they want to ask you, but what about this? And then I'll say something real simple, if not slick, but what about grace? When you say, but this and but that, I'm going to say, but grace. That's what I'm going to say. I'll tell you right now. Now, if you want a more in-depth
yeah.
answer, we can go to the Word of God, and I'll show it to you. Don't have a problem with it. Because I got receipts. I got paper for you. I got paper for you. Because the Holy
Thank
Ghost
you.
Will give it to me. Paul
mm-hmm.
said, and I came and preached to you, not with words, that's enticing to the ear. That's what I came with. I didn't come with that kind of foolishness. I came by the Word of God, teaching you what the Word says. Now, it's up to you to receive this stuff. I can't make you do anything. But anyway, tomorrow we'll get more into the reason you got to have the Word of God, brothers and sisters, in your life. You know? But if you want a private, you know, session, call me. I won't tell nobody. That's what Paul did over here. Them people who had a reputation. And I'm telling you guys the same thing. There are some people you got to just, you know, pull them to the side. Because I got preachers I talk to on the side right now. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I have to get in the Word of God. Sometimes we spend 2 and 3 countless hours going into the Word. Not arguing, not debating. Just sharing. That's probably a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I share with them and they share with me. But at the end of the
Amen.
Day, let the Word of God be true and let every man be a lie. That's what I say. So there's
mm-hmm.
some people you're going to have to share with. You're going to have to tell them. Because, you know, I tell you right now, I got folks right now, they won't even come on the broadcast because they don't want to hear the truth. Because I tell them, hey, man, you've been justified. Yeah.
yeah,
you've been complete
yeah.
in him. Justified means made right. Oh, am I
mm-hmm.
made right? Yes, you are, if you understand what that means. The word complete. I tell people all the time, you complete. You don't need nothing else. Oh, no, I got to do this and got to do that. I don't care what you do. You can't solve sin problems because sin problems, you have to die. See, the wages of sin is death. So since Christ took care of that for you, accept that and accept what he got for you. And that's the gift of righteousness. But see, people, they don't want to, you know, they don't know because they haven't died yet. You got to die to self, people. That's the first thing. And you do that by getting into the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God say, you just throw up your hand just like you're under arrest and say, I surrender, Lord. Whatever your words say, I'm doing it. Going forward, from this day forward, whatever your word says, you open it up to me, don't need this preacher, that preacher. I'm going to get in that word, and you open it up to me, and I'm going to do it, Lord. See, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you're willing. I got that. I know you're willing. But are you obedient to it? You can be willing all day long, but you're not obedient. You can have the mindset all day long, but you're not obedient. And then, since you know so much, how about you getting with God and tell God to show you some stuff so you can show us? Because Jeremiah 33 says, I'm going to show you some things. So, hey, bring it. I better be careful with that word. Yeah. That's how we lost our speaker yesterday. He told that man to bring it, and he brought it, and he lost his seat in the his seat as house speaker. Now, I'm just joking. But listen, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm for real. Bring it, because all I got to answer with is the word of God. But anyway, okay, we're at this point now. Anybody want to share anything? Anything you want to add? Or whatever, you got the opportunity to do it right now. Just press 1, and we'll let you in, or whatever. And tomorrow we'll get more. Oh, tomorrow's Thankful Thursday. But we'll get into the Word of God. Thank Him for the Word, because that's the thing going to guide you. That's what's going to propel you. That needs to be your vision for whatever you do. Yes, I have receipts for that. Matthew's 4:4 and Luke 4:4. It's a mention I live by bread alone, but by every word. I'm trying to tell you what the word of God said, how we ought to live. Not by gossip, not by this preacher because he got so many degrees or he's so educated or whatever, whatever. No, we got to live by the word of God. Real simple. Simplicity.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone?
Praise God. Well, Pastor, over in Galatians 3 and 1, where you were talking about how Paul had called the Galatians foolish, it starts off saying, "O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you." And then the New Living Translation said, "O foolish Galilean, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear as you, as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross." Amen.
Amen.
So he was asking him that question. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine somebody getting up here calling somebody a witchcraft, calling them ignorant, calling them a fool? Yeah. You might not do that today. So people don't want to hear really. They think they want to hear Paul preach. They don't want to hear him preach. They just think it.
Amen.
Because he don't make no difference. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the revelation. That's what he preached, the revelation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He didn't mind constantly. Thank you so much, Pastor. Anybody else? Anybody else have a word that you want to give us? Anybody, press 1. Sister Marilyn, evangelist. Oh, okay. Where's she gone? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, if not, hey, we'll see you all tomorrow for Thankful Thursday. Stay blessed.